Thank you, men. The book of Psalms again tonight, Psalms chapter number 62. Psalm 62, if you want to find your place there, and we'll look and see what the Lord has for us this evening out of Psalms chapter number 62. It's already been a good day in the Lord's house, and while you're finding your place, let me just challenge you and encourage you with the invites that we're trying to get out and get in that habit of inviting people. And these new classes aren't going to just fill themselves. And so we got to let people know about them. How many of you are in a Sunday school class, a Bible study class? Isn't it a blessing? And I would hope it's be a blessing, and you're learning something, the lessons that you get. And so let's be mindful of inviting people. I promise you, if you get somebody to class, it's going to help them. And if people see that you care, people see that you want to know, you let the Word of God do what only the Word of God can do. And if you get them to church, I promise you God will work in their heart. And so let's just be mindful, even in this Christmas season, but especially in this Christmas season, to be inviting others. Psalm 62, and we're going to try kind of stay with the theme that we've been on the last couple of weeks tonight, and just a different aspect of it. Look at Psalm 62, and we're just going to read two verses tonight. Verse 5 and verse 6. Of course, this is David the psalmist again. And we read in verse number 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Tonight I want to preach a message I have entitled, "The One Thing That I Must Remember." The one thing I must remember. If we think back to last week and then even this morning, really the theme of the message is to just push back all the clutter and just focus on God. And sometimes our lives become cluttered, our focus gets off of him, not because we're trying to take our eyes off of him. That's if we're not careful, that's what happens. And so tonight, we want to look at it from this aspect of the one thing I must remember. Father, help us tonight as we look again into your word. May it be a help to us. May it be a challenge to us. And Father, if there's some who are still struggling with that surrender, may tonight help them to make that decision. May we keep our focus on you. May we tonight reinforce what we looked at this morning and the structure that is necessary, the discipline that must take place so that our focus can be on you. And we ask your hand of blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful passage of Scripture in two very powerful verses. We must be reminded with that in mind that life is going to pull us in 100 directions. Especially this time of year, there's the usual schedule, and now there's extra things on top of that. Throughout life, responsibilities multiply. Stress increases. Problems will come up even when we're not looking for them. Problems arise. Battles come in our life. Sometimes we allow expectations to overwhelm us, and we must be careful with that, even in a holiday season, and say, "Well, I have to do this." Who's putting that expectation on you? If it's not God, then we're overwhelmed with expectations that we have no reason to be overwhelmed by. People disappoint us. Sometimes circumstances and things that happen shake us. And there are seasons of life and seasons of pressure. And when all of these things take place, sometimes we forget what matters most. What I love about this psalm and what I love about this passage of Scripture and the message tonight is we find David, that great leader, David, that great minister, if you will, David, that great source of strength, that person of victory. David is not preaching to his army. He's not preaching to his family. David is preaching to himself. My soul. He's not from the South. He's not saying, "Oh, my soul." That's not what's happening there. He is speaking to himself. Who is himself? Who is himself? His inner man. Who he really is. Not his abilities necessarily, not his fortitude necessarily, but my inner man. What is going on in here? Because, friend, what's going on inside of us, this is who we really are. We can put on, and we should put on the right perspective on the outside. We should put on the right things on the outside with our demeanor and all those things. But really, what is going on in here? You can look like you have it all together on the outside, but you can be chaos on the inside. So let's just break this down very simply. Who are we really? Are we what's on the outside, or are we what's going on the inside? David is speaking to himself. He's talking to his own soul, his own spirit, his inner man. He is reminding himself, and by the way, it's not a bad thing to talk to yourself in this context. Now, if there's more than one of yourselves, we may have a different problem. But he reminds himself of the one thing that stabilizes his entire life. Tonight's message will help us from this perspective of no other. We get to the place, young people, where we don't have to have somebody else telling us what we need to hear, but we are willing to tell ourselves what we need to hear. Christian, we're going to a different place in our life, in our relationship with God. And yes, you have a pastor to shepherd you. You have people in your life God places there. But if we could be honest with ourselves, because we know what's going on in there more than anybody else does. Self, this is what you need to do. See, he reminds himself of the one thing that stabilizes his entire life. It is found in verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Often we're disappointed. Often ourself, our inner man, is perplexed because we have expectations from people when our expectations should be from Him. It is not my expectations. It are not from people. They're not from my circumstances. Well, Pastor, I understand you could preach that way and say those things. If my circumstances were like your circumstances, well, first of all, you don't know what my circumstances are. But circumstances should not dictate who our one thing is. He's reminding himself of the one thing that can stabilize his entire life. Not from outcomes. Well, if it works out okay, then that's going to stabilize me. If I can make the right plans, then my life is stabilized. If I can succeed, my life is stabilized. I know successful people who live in chaos. If my conditions were perfect, no. His expectation is from Him. See, David is saying the one thing I must remember in all of this is this. All my hope, all my trust, all my confidence comes from God alone. There is only one individual you can put 100% confidence in 100% of the time, who cannot fail, who's not able to fail, who knows everything you need, who's always there when you call. The phone never goes to voicemail. The text never goes unanswered, and that's God Himself. And that's what David is saying. He's saying the one thing that will anchor my soul in a storm is remembering who my expectation is in. And if you'll think with me tonight, we all fall prey to that. We get disappointed. Why are we disappointed? Did God disappoint us? God's never disappointed us. And if we keep that one thing, that when people do disappoint us, well, He's never disappointed me. When people do come up short, He's never come up short. See, this will keep you stable. No matter what takes place in your life, perspective. Often we get our lives turned upside down, we don't have the right perspective. When we grieve, we must have the right perspective. When we sorrow, we must have the right perspective. When we're struggling, we must fix our perspective. Let me give you the outline tonight. We find a crisis that forces our remembrance. Often we'll enter into crisis and it will force us to do what I'm saying tonight. It'll force us to have a conversation with yourself. Well, I'm disappointed. I'm fearful. I don't know what to do. Hey, self, soul, We must remember something who our expectation is with. And he is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. And what David was saying, and bear in mind, this psalm was being written in a time of betrayal. Likely during Absalom's rebellion. David was on the throne, now he's not. He's facing rebellion from his own son. David was attacked from without. He was betrayed from within. David was abandoned by friends. He was pursued by enemies. He was criticized by the crowds. He was uncertain of the future. So whatever you're going through that fits in that, David had been through it and was going through it. See, in times like this, it is a natural thing for our heart to panic. See, when you have a panic about what's going on in your life or circumstances, the panic is not a sin, it is a human reaction. It's what you do after that panic is when we can enter into sin, because we will take our eyes off of that who never moves. And I often say this, grieving is not, you're not a weak Christian because you grieve. You're not a weak Christian because you can't get over it. And even in circumstances when you don't know what to do, don't beat yourself up and say, I should have this fixed. David couldn't. It wasn't the panic. That's our reflex. And when that happens, this is what happens. Our flesh tries to grab control of the circumstance. Let me change the circumstances. Let me alter the outcome. That fear takes over. It is a natural thing for you and I to be afraid of the unknown. It is not a sin to have fear. But what do we do after that fear? See, I like this. David was a mighty leader. Can we all agree on that? But he's not preaching to others first. He's preaching to himself. My soul. You ever had that conversation? You have to like get your own attention because you're letting circumstances pull you one way. You're letting fear pull you one way. You're letting panic pull you back. And you have to say, what am I doing? I'm a child of God. He's in control. He's in control of all the circumstances. My soul, you have got to put more faith in God's word. And it has never failed you. It's never let you down. My soul, God is on the throne. I can't control the circumstances, but I don't have to because I have a God who's in control of the circumstances. You have to speak to yourself sometimes. See, let me just point out, in this crisis hour, pressure is going to reveal what you're really leaning on. See, when that pressure comes, see, when life is calm, you may think you're trusting God. Some of you, God's been so good and everything, your life is like that calm water. There's not a ripple in it. Work is good. Home is good. Health is good. It's not perfect, but it's good. And you're like, oh, I'm just trusting God. If I can put it this way, wait till life comes and kicks that chair out from under you. Then you find out when the pressure's on. Am I depending on myself to fix this? Am I depending on people to fix things? Am I waiting on other things to take place? Or where is my expectation? Where is my solution? Betrayal teaches you to anchor in God alone. There are people who say, and if you've been betrayed by somebody you love, that's a painful thing. And David learned the hard way that men fail, friends change, allies turn, people disappoint. Humans are unstable and fickle. But God is faithful. He's the one that we can depend on. We see number two, the command that centers the soul. We said number one, there's the crisis that forces his remembrance. But number two, there's the command that centers the soul. David is getting in charge of himself. He's given a command, my soul. A lot of us will get that first part in, my soul. But he is given a command to himself. Wait thou only upon God. Quit acting without his leadership. Quit assigning motives to his plan. Quit telling God what he's trying to do. And he gives a command that's going to bring his inner man, his soul, right back to where it needs to be. Wait thou only upon God. He is speaking directly to his soul. And it would do us as good as Christians to command our emotions. You can have fear, but fear, you're not in control of me. You can have sorrow, but sorrow, you're not in control of me. You can have hurt and the tears may flow, but you're not controlling me. I am going to wait on God to heal. I'm going to wait on God to lead. I'm going to wait on God to make sense of the circumstances. See, let me remind you, your life and my life needs leadership. If we don't have leadership in our life, fear is going to be in control, panic is going to be in control, worry is going to be in control, complain is going to be in control, despair is going to be in control. Now, all of those things I just mentioned, all of us have those in common. We've all felt them. Many of them at the same time. Some of you are feeling them tonight. If you don't command your soul, it's going to lead you. Those emotions are going to make your decision. Those emotions are going to get you in more trouble. You can't control those circumstances, but when you have that panic, when you have that fear, you can command your soul, wait thou upon God. We need that leadership. See, waiting on God is not doing nothing. Is doing the right thing. Well, I just have to do something. Well, waiting on God is doing something. It's putting the one back in charge who can do something. You know what waiting means? Trusting. If I command my soul to wait on God, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, God, I'm trusting you. And let me help us. No matter who you are tonight, trusting God is better than trusting you. He's got all the facts. He knows what to do with them. If you and I had all the facts, we wouldn't even know what to do with them. He knows what to do with them. Waiting on him is expecting. I can wait and sit back and say, soul, wait on him. And I'm expecting him to lead. I'm expecting him to make the decision. It's believing. Do we believe that whatever is not of faith is sin? That's what the Bible tells us. Do we believe that faith moves the heart of God? But we have to wait and say, let's just wait on God. He'll take care of what I need. But soul, you're going to have to wait on him. This is the expectation. It is refusing us being manipulated by our own emotions. This is something we all need to hear. Your emotions can manipulate you. I'm never going to be one to tell you that because you're a Christian, you shouldn't have emotions. God made us with emotions. And I think it needs to be said more and more that when you have certain emotions as a reaction, that is not a sin, that is normal. You're made in a way that some things are going to make you angry. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there's nothing wrong with expressing our emotions, but is our emotions going to manipulate us? But some of you, because you have a fear, you have manipulated yourself into believing that you could never teach a Sunday school class without even considering whether or not God wants you to. There's some of you young men, you know God's called you to ministry, but you have manipulated yourself because you don't speak good, you didn't do good in school, because there's something else you can do. Your fear has manipulated you into being content with taking control of your own situation. And what some of you need to do tonight is say, soul, I'm going to wait on Him. I'm going to trust Him. There's waiting is actually faith in motion. See, let's look at what he says there. This waiting upon God is expectation. Notice in verse 6, He only is my rock. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. See, only is the secret. There's too many times as a Christian, I've done it, where we want to put in our backup plans in case God doesn't come through. Just in case God's not big enough to help me in my problem, I need to have a backup. Just in case God's not big enough to take care of me, just in case God's not big enough to handle the disappointment, the betrayal, the attacks as David was going through, just in case, let me put, no, David said, if I'm going down, I'm going down depending only on You. Friend, that's not a bad place to be. Well, all I have to do left is pray. That's a good place to be. All I have left is God. That's not a bad place to be. All I have is God and His people, His book. That's all I have in life. Be in a situation where my expectation is only Him anyway. Wait thou only upon God. Well, Pastor, I wait mostly on Him. Or only. Number three, there's a confession here that stabilizes his life. What is that confession? The confession is not a confession of sin. It is a confession of verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. See, we live in a day today where sadly, even among Christians, if we make a confession that I'm depending 100% on God, even Christians look at you suspect and say, I don't know if that's wise. That's faith. Well, that's reckless faith. The very definition of faith is reckless by man's definition. Well, I'm just going to depend on God to take care of my family. Well, you don't have anything else? He's confessing. He's letting the world, and he's telling himself, there's no backup plan. There's no way we're going back. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. By the way, that's an unshakable foundation. See, only God is immovable. Only God is unbreakable. See, you and I, we have a breaking point. And the only way we don't succumb to our breaking point is to say, I'm going to wait upon God. My expectation is from Him. And a lot of times we break into that breaking point because we still have expectations from ourselves. I should pray harder. I should do more. My faith should be stronger. I physically should, my emotions shouldn't be out of control. But friend, when you're in a situation like David is, when his own son has risen up against him, he's been betrayed, he's got enemies from him, everybody wanted to kill David. When he had to flee the throne, where was he going to go? Was he going to take up residence in the nation next door? No, they wanted to kill him. His best friends wanted to kill him. His servant who sat at his table wanted to kill him. He had nobody else to depend on but God. And sometimes we panic and we get out of control because we have that expectation upon ourselves. I should be able to fix this. I should be able to solve this. David says, I am confessing to myself. My only hope is in God. He's my rock and my salvation. See, He's the perfect protection. David was surrounded by attackers and accusers. What does he say? God's my defense. I don't have to vindicate myself. I don't need to fear. See, when God is your defense, as the Bible tells us, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When God is your defense. Notice the progression here. Once he confesses, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. That is the result. I shall not be moved. See, the result is, if I'm my expectation is in him, he is my rock, he's my salvation, I shall not be moved. I don't need to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. What is he saying? He's saying, okay, everything is stable. Please don't miss this. This will help you. When he declared that, the world did not move into the proper focus. Absalom was not removed out of his life and him placed back on his throne. His friends did not come back to him and beg for forgiveness and say they were wrong. Enemies did not lay down their swords and stop seeking his destruction. No, what he was saying is, I am not going to be moved in depending on him, and my expectation is in him alone, and I can be stable. Because I'm not afraid. Because my fear, did he have fear still? Yes, but his fear was not in charge. He's got stability, but his circumstances hasn't changed. Christian, no matter what goes on in your life, you can have stability in your life, even if your circumstances don't go back the way you want it. Because where is his focus? On the immovable. On the unbreakable. His expectations are no longer on himself and no longer on the people around him. They're fully on God. And God is not capable of disappointing you. God is not capable of getting it wrong. Can I tell you, I love you as your pastor. I seek to lead you the way God. I want to do right by you. I want to do what's good for you. But I am not an infallible man. And even with my best intentions, there are things that I am not going to see. And things I'm going to get wrong. But can I tell you, there's a God in heaven who never has failed, who's never going to get it wrong. And David is saying, I'm fixing on him. Soul, emotions, logic, abilities, we're going to depend on him. Circumstances didn't change, but he said, I shall not be moved. Well, some of you, it would be good for you to do tonight in your heart. Is take some time with God. Say, I'm not going to be moved. You say, well, I said that. No, let me put it in context. You have to first talk to your soul. And for you, it might be fear. It might be panic. It might be anger. And see, these circumstances that I cannot control in my life, emotions are not going to be in charge of me. I don't understand it. I don't like it. And when that panic comes back in, reminding myself, I'm having another conversation with me. Soul, wait thou only. Well, I can't take it anymore. Soul, wait thou upon thy God. His timing is perfect. There's nobody in here that can say, I've never gotten ahead of where I should have been, or I never lagged behind where I should have went, but God's timing is perfect. It's infallible. And sometimes we're looking for the answer. That's the problem. I need an explanation. I need an answer. We don't need the answer. Sometimes we can't handle the answer. What we need is to say, soul, God's got this under control, and he's my rock, he's my salvation. I'm going to depend on him. And soul, I know you don't like it. Emotions, I know you don't like it. And I know in the middle of the night you try and go crazy, but I'm telling you right now, he's my rock, he's my salvation. I shall not be moved, not because circumstances have changed back, but because I'm anchored. And if I go, by the way, it's not a bad thing if we go down depending on God. I'll take that. I'll be willing to live with that. Then number four, there's the consequences of forgetting the one thing. Let me make the end of this very practical. When you forget where your expectation comes from, it's hard to be disappointed. Let me just say that before I give you this. It's hard to be disappointed when your expectation is somebody who's never made a mistake. Well, God didn't come through. No, God always comes through. When we say that, our expectation is still on our logic. And you can be the most logical, intelligent, smart person. You can know how to read a room. You can know how to read the circumstances. And I promise you, you don't know what God knows. And sometimes we might even be able to diagnose it, but we can't do a thing about it. But there's the God of heaven who is a rock, and he's our salvation. And we need to, I keep going back to this because I think we need it. This wasn't the main thrust, but it seems to be something we need to hear. You take expectations off of yourself. There's some things you cannot control. And there's some things you cannot have an answer for. And you can be strong, and you can have the will, you can have the backbone of your backbone could be a telephone pole. I promise you, you're going to face some things, and you're going to feel emotions you've never felt before. You're going to feel fears you've never felt before. And then you're going to look at yourself and say, the expectations, the church disappointed me, or man disappointed me, or this person did this. All that may be true, but the bottom line is, who's your rock? Who's your defense? Who's your expectation in? We have to push back the clutter of all these expectations, even on ourselves. Oh, I was afraid again. I'm a horrible Christian. No, you're human. I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow when the panic begins to set in and I don't know what to do. Oh, I just don't believe in God enough. No, you're human. And if you've gone through a lot of things in life those traumatic events, they take a toll on you physically. And your emotions change, your physical being changes, your mental state changes, and we get disappointed. I'm just not a good Christian. You're looking at it wrong. Your expectation is in your mind. It's in your emotions. It's in your physical being, and it ought to be on God. We're all going to face things where we cannot. And then, well, what do I do, Pastor, when I'm afraid? Have a conversation with yourself. Soul, I know you're afraid, and so am I. It's a two-way conversation. And the fear's real, and we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And Absalom's stolen the throne, but he's my rock. He's my salvation. It's not my throne anyway. It's his throne. And I don't know if I'm going to make it through tomorrow, but it's not my life anyway. It's his life. I don't know what's going to happen with my children and my grandchildren, but they don't belong to me anyway. They belong to him. And soul, we're going to be anchored to him. And we don't have to have the circumstances change, and we don't have to have the world turned right back on its axis, because I am waiting on him. He is my defense. I am not going to be moved. So fear, when you come up, you can be afraid, but just understand something. You're not in control. Emotion, when you come up, understand something. You're not in control. The hurt that comes from betrayal, the hurt that comes from disappointment. Yes, I'm going to hurt, and it's okay to hurt. It's okay to grieve, and you're going to have to go through the process of things, but you need to have a conversation with yourself. It's, we're not quitting church. We're not quitting God. We're not quitting trusting. We're not quitting serving, because emotions, you're not in control, because my anchor is on him. Let's get back to those consequences. You become driven by fear instead of faith when you forget where your expectation comes from. See, fear is always going to fill the vacuum where faith has been replaced. And fear and faith cannot sit on the same throne. You lean on people more than God. You panic instead of pray. Here's a good one. You try to control what God never asked you to control. If we would just control what God asked us to control, we'd be okay. Control is the enemy of trust. Parents, you want to teach your children, instruct your children, guard your children, lead your children, even discipline your children. But it's not your job to control your children. Let that sink in for a minute. And I'm not talking about letting your kid run crazy through the auditorium. But I think you know what I'm saying. Because they got a spirit of God that lives within them. And you need to teach them what the Bible says and teach them who God is and teach them to go to God when they have a problem and teach them to go to Him at a young age and know that all through life they can go to Him. And there's too many parents, if I can say it tonight, who try and micromanage their children, and God never asked you to control them. He only asked you to teach them and to guide them and rear them according to His Word. And when they leave home, you can't control them. But it's not just with our children. We try and control things that God never intended for us to control. There's some things you're going to have to... I learned this the hard way. As we spent month after month after month in that children's hospital with our daughter Amanda. You talk about feeling out of control of everything. No control. No control. Is today going to be the day? Is today, what's going to happen today? Well, how many code blues is there going to be today? No control. So I didn't like it either, but I had to learn. God never asked me to control this situation. He's never asked me to control the circumstances. He's never asked me to control the health of my child, the expertise of the doctors and nurses. That's not for me to control. That's for Him to control. And might I say, God is always in control. And we get ourselves in trouble and disappointed, and we give up, and we go a different direction because we are expecting things from ourselves and trying to control things that God never asked us to control. But He did ask us to control our emotions, control our direction. I'll move on from that one. Can I make it just a little application in conclusion? I'm going to close my Bible to give you hope. Preach to yourself. It would do some of you very good if you tell yourself the truth. Some of you listen to the psychology of this world, and if I just tell myself I'm in control, I just tell myself I can beat this, and I'll beat it. And I'm not against having a positive attitude, but that positive needs to come from I have a God who's in control. But preach to yourself. When you feel fear taking over, preach to yourself. Don't depend on your pastor to pull you aside and say, what's going on? Figuratively speaking, grab yourself by the collar and pull yourself in a corner and say, my soul, I have an anchor, have a rock, have salvation, and we are waiting on Him. Tell your soul the truth every single day. We will not be moved. Number two, have an application, replace thoughts of fear with thoughts of Scripture. You know, I think it might be a good idea and make some sense if we committed Psalm 62, verse 5 and 6 to memory. And whenever that fear presented itself, we put our mind on that. Wherever that emotion rises up, and by the way, let me reiterate what I've already said. It's not a sin to have these emotions. It's not a sin to have fear. It's a natural thing. But if we don't have that conversation with ourselves, we don't preach to ourselves and then say, let me replace those thoughts of fear. I'm not going to entertain them. I'm going to replace them with Scripture. Next, refuse to place expectations on people. Your pastor, one of the responsibilities, one of the reasons why I'm here is to help, is to carry a burden with you. But it's not to carry a burden for you. Because there's only one whose shoulders are broad enough to carry the needs of every individual. And that's God Himself. I'm not saying God is not going to send people in your life you can depend on. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for a church family that if you need prayer, you can go to them? Aren't you thankful for encouragement? I'm not saying God does not use people to do His work and to strengthen and encourage us. But if our expectation is on Him, He will send the right people to help us. Here's another tough one. Surrender control of outcomes. You know why we get disappointed? Because we are working for a certain outcome. Lord, I pray for my child. I want them to be in the will of God. Now let me tell you what it is. And I'm going to move all these pieces so that I can control the outcome. Lord, I have a need in my life and, well, I want this good thing. But I'm surrendered to your will. Now, let me try and control this outcome. If we're having that message with our soul and saying, soul, you're not in charge. God's in charge. He's our rock. He's our salvation. He's who we're depending on. I'm going to surrender control of the outcomes. The expectation belongs to God, not to me. He's in charge of that. And truth of the matter is, He knows better what the outcome needs to be than I do. I just don't understand. We prayed and prayed and that outcome went this way. I don't understand it either except for the fact that I have a God who understands all things. I have a God who's a good God. I have a God who's in control of every detail of every situation. And I'm surrendering the outcome to Him. Lord, I'm praying for this, but whatever Thy will be done because I'm anchored to You, I'm not going to be moved. Whatever the circumstances are, You're in control of the outcome. Then number five, keep your eyes on Christ, not circumstances. We'll criticize Peter who got out of the boat, won't we? Walking on that water. Then he starts to sink, but then he started looking around at the storm. You're like, what was his problem? Where was his faith? You know, he's the one that actually got out of the boat, walked on the water. But what did he do? He did what you and I do. We start looking at the circumstances. Man, that wind's blowing pretty hard. I didn't notice that when I first got out of the boat. These waves are crashing. You know, when he stepped down the water, I wasn't there. You can ask Tony Warden what it was like. When he stepped out of the water, on that water, the water all of a sudden wasn't wet. It was still wet. It was still cold. The waves were still crashing. The thunder was still sounding. The lightning was flashing. And he looked at the circumstances. You and I can identify with that, but what I'm reminding us is to keep our eyes on Christ, not the circumstances around us. But I also suggest that we pray expectation-based prayers and not fear-based prayers. I didn't say don't ever go to God because you're afraid. fear drives us to our knees. But when fear drives us to our knees, then that prayer comes out of fear. May they not just be prayers out of fear, but prayers with expectation. Because we are depending on a God who's in complete control. Then number 7, this would be a good thing to do on a daily basis. Remind ourselves, He only is. To shape our day, if I'm only depending on God. Book of Proverbs chapter 3 reminds us to lean not under thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's another way of saying what David said. He only is. Can we say that tonight? I know what some of you are facing, but I don't know what everybody's facing. There are some things that I have fears with you. I fear for you. But when those, in my own personal life and in those circumstances, I have to remind myself, go to God, and I have to remind myself and say, self, oh my soul, you're not in control. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to have the ability to change the circumstances. But I can say I'm not going to be moved because my hope is in Him. We get pulled all these different ways. What are we depending on? Are you depending on the economy to take care of you? Or are you depending on God to take care of you? Are you depending on the political movement? Or are you depending on God? I like lower taxes. I like gas to be cheaper. I like groceries to be less expensive. But I have a God who can keep food on the table. I have a God who can keep gas in the tank. And if He can't, if for some reason He decides not to put gas in the tank, He'll give me strength in my legs. Or He'll give me at least enough to call some of you to say, hey, come pick me up and give me a ride. I'd rather depend on God than depend on man. Friend, why don't we join David, the great psalmist? What is he saying? He's saying, I've been betrayed. From the inside, people on the outside want to kill me. My friends who I've battled with have left me. I'm leaving my home out of fear. I don't know where I'm going to go. Even that mighty man had some fears. Probably had a little bit of panic. You think he got angry? I would say so. You know what David did? He reminded himself, my soul. And can I reword it and say it like this? God's got us this far. God put me on the throne. And we know the story of David getting to the throne. It's His throne. And if He said, I'm going to be the king, it doesn't matter who betrays me. It doesn't matter who wants to kill me, because He's in control and I'm going to depend on Him. Friend, I don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us, but might we have a conversation with ourselves tonight and say, soul, we're not waiting on the circumstances to change. Emotions, they're real. And I know you're there. You remind me you're there all the time. The soul, we're going to trust in God. And when God moves, we'll move. He's our anchor. He's our rock. Father, help us tonight as we consider these truths.